Hi, everybody, and welcome to one of our last shows before Memorial Day. Okay, today's Thursday, the 27th of May. We've got two wonderful shows for you. Excuse me, for you today. This one and the one we're doing after, so I'm really looking forward to both of them. And then I want to wish you, before I forget, a happy Memorial Day weekend. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. This show is going to be about smashing that literacy divide. I've got Terry Noland here. Dr. Noland is the VP over at of Educator Initiatives over at Learning Ally, which is a nice company that we're going to learn about today. We're going to talk about all the wonderful things they're doing to help get rid of that literacy crisis. It's really brutal out there. We're going to make it happen, especially made worse this year, of course, by the pandemic. So we'll talk to Terry and have a great old time. We're going to archive this show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That is a website for American Consortium for Equity in Education. You'll love it if you go over there. On Monday, we're putting, we're going to be putting up a new magazine. We publish every other month our journal, which is an online journal called Equity in Access. The new issue, the June issue, goes up right on time, June 1st, basically, May 31st, and it's a terrific issue, 90 pages of great stuff about equity and access. And it's a wonderful magazine written with great advertisers. It's for the pre-K-12 market, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Please go over there, check it out, and tell your friends. It's all over at ace-ed.org, which is where we're going to put this podcast as well, like we always do, okay? And there's Terry. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the show. It's Larry here.
Hey, Larry. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? Been a while since we talked. How are you?
I am excellent. It's an awesome day, no matter what it's like outside, inside, outside. Yeah. It's an awesome day.
Yeah, it is. And you're in Texas, right? You're in Texas?
Where are you? I am in Texas, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm in Maine. It's a gorgeous, warm, really like a summery type day. How is it in Texas today? Where are you? Where are you in Texas, which is bigger than Maine, by the way?
I am in West Texas, where, let me tell you what, the heat rises starting in May. We've had rain, but it's gorgeous outside. So I'm telling you what, it's a good one.
Yeah, how far west are you? Where are you? In Midland? Around there?
No, not that far west. I am in Abilene. It's about 3 hours from Fort Worth.
Cool. That is great. Abilene's famous. What can I tell you? Terry, you're VP over at of Educator Initiatives. It is. All the Westerns are Abilene. Okay? All right? It's true. All right? Famous. All right?
Yeah.
You're VP of Educator Initiatives at Learning Ally. Tell us about Learning Ally.
All right. So if you don't know about Learning Ally, I'm going to ask, where have you been for the past 70 years? Learning Ally. We're a national nonprofit organization.
Wait a minute. Let me get off the hook, because I do know about Learning Ally. I'm asking on behalf of the audience. Okay? So I want to get off the
hook. There you go.
Thanks, Terry.
Exactly. And Larry, you definitely have been a good friend to Learning Ally. We're a national nonprofit organization. Yeah. We've been around for over 70 years. And we actually started with a lady that saw a need when veterans were coming back from World War II who had been blinded in war. Mm-hmm. She and a bunch of ladies from the Women's Auxiliary Group started recording books so that these GIs could access their GI Bill, get the education that they deserved. So they started recording books at the top of the New York Public Library. And let me tell you what, we have evolved and we've gotten really innovative over the past, I would say, 10 years. We still serve individuals that are blind and visually impaired, have physical impairments. But the greatest need that we have across the country are those students that are not meeting levels of proficiency in reading. Students that have learning disabilities, dyslexia, have other issues that are preventing them from accessing grade level content.
Mm-hmm. It's a serious challenge, okay? It truly is. We're going to talk about all this as this time goes by. I just noticed something on your website. You have some sort of, maybe I hope you know about this, a virtual conference June 4th. Since it's coming up next week, I thought I'd mention it.
It's coming up next week, and let me tell you what, I know a lot about it. It
oh,
is
good.
Friday, June 4th. Absolutely. And it is, we've got amazing speakers coming. We actually have three keynote sessions, one by David Kilpatrick. If you know about dyslexia, the education space, you know the name David Kilpatrick. Also, we've got Dr. Susan Hall. She is one of our keynote speakers. She is from the 95% group. Many of you know Dr. Susan Hall. And one of our speakers that I'm going to tell you what, I am Andrew Lewis. You may not know his name, may not recognize that, but I'm going to tell you that he is actually going to be in the Netherlands broadcasting live because he is making his way to Japan, sailing in the Olympics just a few short weeks later.
Jeez.
So he is an Olympic sailor from Trinidad
wow.
and Tobago.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
It's,
and by the way,
amazing.
I know Susan Hall. Susan's from Illinois. Okay, her and her husband, they run the company over there. Okay, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be an incredible day. I mean, we've got thousands of teachers registered. Last year when we did this conference, we had over 9,000 educators across the country registered. Learning Ally, let me tell you what, we've been...
I'm so glad I brought it up. I almost did.
I know.
So I'm glad I did.
We've been delivering virtual conferences before they were a cool thing to do. And this is our sixth year to execute on this.
Right. This is super, okay? So everybody, it's learningally.org, okay? They're a great company. We're going to talk about some more. I didn't mean to interrupt Susan's train of thought, but I just knew that June 4th is a virtual conference. Go over there, check it out. Spotlight on dyslexia. It's going to be good stuff. Okay, now back to what I want to talk about, this literacy divide, this literacy light crisis. Talk about it, okay? And Terry, put it in context. Okay, of what you folks do at Learning Ally. And you have such good hearts over there. But put this whole thing with what you do. You have good hearts, okay? Put
it
in context. We do. You do.
Absolutely.
You
do. So by the end of today, on May 27th, by the end of today, 2,000 new newborns will be added to this world in the United States. 2,000 babies, crying babies. And we can predict, based on what we know from historical data with our nation's report card, that of those 2,000 babies born today, within 8 years, 65% of them will not be meeting levels of proficiency in reading. We can predict that. As of today, we can predict it. 65% of students in our schools today are not meeting those levels of proficiency. That's profound. Hopefully,
what
that's
is the real? What do they? Is the reason socioeconomic? Is the reason? I'm going to say it this way: environmental, in terms of challenges with dyslexia and ADHD and all that sort of thing, neuroscience based. What's the challenge? Why are these kids falling out like that? Do they know?
Yeah, so I think it's multifaceted, and this is where Learning Ally, we're really trying to focus and attack. It's everything you said. It is that neurological component that, you know, and Dr. Marianne Wolf talks about this, that our brains are not wired to be readers. Some kids just pick it up naturally, but that's not the case for most students. Most students need a very structured, intentional, deliberate approach, beginning with our phonics, our phonemic awareness, and building that way. And so those students that don't get that instruction because our colleges are not preparing our teachers in that way to address the needs when they go out and serve in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
No shame, no blame on the part of the teachers. I'm going to say that right now. It is a fault of our system. But we also have trauma. We all, you know, think about students that, you know, are experiencing trauma, especially in this past year, students that have environmental factors of you know, low socioeconomic status. Both parents are working. They're not engaged in oral language development. They don't have access to books. They're not building background knowledge and developing schema and mental models around words and adding vocabulary to their lexicon. We've got, you know, students that have those learning disabilities. So, you know, the reasons, the causes are wide and varied.
Wow. Well, and it has, and I just want to ask you, because it seems to have gotten worse over the last 30 years. All right. And maybe I'm wrong, but am I correct, or are we just measuring it better?
You know what? I think, once again, I'm going to place blame on the fault of the system. I think you're right. We are measuring it better. State tests and these standardized tests and things like that. Not that I'm a fan of those too much. But
me neither. Me neither.
Yeah. That's a whole nother podcast, Larry.
Yeah, I know it is. Whole other 20 podcasts.
So,
yeah.
Exactly. It is the fact that you know what? Here's the thing. And this comes from Dr. Sharon Vaughn out of the University of Texas, a leader in reading research. And here's what she said. She said, you know what? In every other industry in our country, people have to follow guidelines. They have to follow the protocols of their industry. Lawyers do, custodial services do, food service. They've got to follow strict guidelines. And in education, when it comes to teaching a student to decode words, to read, be a skilled reader, basically any teacher, any school, and any district can do what they want to do. Let's put that in perspective and
say,
what if architects, what if I'm an architect and I decide I'm not particularly a fan of arches? Yeah, no, I don't like arches. I don't think arches are the way to go in building bridges. And so I designed my bridge without the use of arches. And in 8 years, that bridge crumbles and crashes to the ground, causing, you know, damage to lives. And we would not accept that. But in education, we seem to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got 50 different systems. Okay, which I don't like. And I understand why we do that. But we need to understand now, and we're a long way from reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know, there's neuroscience involved. We probably know, and I'm no expert on this, on how people learn to read. And there's got to be a system. It just makes sense. So now let me go back to that other side of it. Put Learning Ally in the middle of this. Okay? We know we've got a challenge with reading. We know we've got a challenge with literacy. We know that some of it's socioeconomic, some of it's neurological. We know it's there. You gave that statistic a few minutes ago, okay? How do we save these kids? And again, don't talk about Learning Ally.
Yeah. Well, and this is where I'm going to tell you my heart starts to swell with pride to be associated with this organization. And you know what? I talked about the fact of where we began in our history and our legacy. And but today, I'm going to tell you what, we are an engine, an innovative engine that is making waves across the country. We're partnering with neuroscientists out of MIT, out of UCSF, out of Florida State. We are partnering with leaders in education to say, how does a student learn? What are those factors coming into play? Does trauma play a role in the development of the brain? And we are coming up with what we're calling whole child literacy. So, you know, we've talked about the whole child before, but we're layering on literacy to that and saying, how can we address the whole child? What can we look at as far as executive functioning, as far as those cognitive variables, and starting to really understand the child? Now, but here's where it's different in what Learning Ally is doing. We're not just going to say, okay, here's the problem. We're over here designing solutions to address the problem. We're no longer going to be seen as an organization that just provides audiobooks. We're going to be seen as a solution that we are going to come in to your districts and solve your literacy problem K-12. by offering a suite of resources, a suite of services and solutions that hit that need and start to address this.
You know, Carrie, let me ask something. You just brought up something that struck me, okay? We're always talking about kids being at reading level, okay? Correct me if I'm wrong, but
yeah.
I think this is right. At third grade, that's kind of the measure, okay? And we always say if they're not there then, they're going to fall behind, all right? And you
yeah.
just said that you can go into a school district, and I like this, K through 12, and you know, and make a difference in literacy. And my question is, if a kid is having trouble reading, how can we say kid? If a student is having trouble reading in grade 6, all right, if you go in there, can that kid really be helped and moved forward and put back on grade level? Because you said it's a K-12 solution, and we're always talking about
yep.
K-3 when it comes to reading. So just expand on that. It's a question from someone who doesn't know a lot about reading, but I used to teach social studies. Okay, and if a
okay.
kid had a reading problem, all right, I couldn't do anything about it. Let me just say it that way. Okay,
yeah.
I didn't even know
yeah.
where to begin. Okay, so talk to me about that.
Right.
You
right.
know, go ahead, go. You're on, Terry Dolan.
Okay. Oh my goodness, I'm chomping at the bit on this one. Absolutely.
Yeah. Go
absolutely.
For it.
Absolutely, we can come in. Sixth graders, and let me just give you that very simple example of even the audiobook solution. So I've got a sixth grader that decodes words on a third grade level. So boy, that's my level, and we have perpetuated this myth in education that, oh, well, I've got to give the sixth, you know, everybody else is reading, you know, sixth grade level content. They're reading, you know, we get to middle school, we start reading books like The Outsiders, and, you know, there's so many great new books out there, The Front Desk, you know, books like that. But that sixth grader, we're saying, oh, no, you've got to have these baby books. And there is this perpetuated belief that then, you know, we're just going to try to build you up, give you what you can. And we've got to stop bringing the child down to content and start bringing the content up to the child. And we do that. The audiobooks, the human read audiobooks is an absolute way. And Larry, let me tell you, we've got data that is proving that when you get access to grade level content that you're struggling to decode, but you can comprehend, boy, your oral language development is there. You can engage in class discussions as long as you've got that content in your brain, that we have doubled the rate of reading growth in a single year for students that use the audiobook solution. That's just one
wow.
example. We're designing solutions for educators to help them be more equipped. I mean, I'm telling you, that's why my heart's swelling with pride here.
Right. It's really interesting. It's so interesting. And overall, Terry, and again, you're Dr. Terry Nolan, okay? You know this
yeah.
stuff, all right?
Yeah.
Dr. Nolan, PhD, okay? So Dr. Nolan, PhD, all right? If you had your druthers, what would you change, okay? And you talked about those 2,000 kids that are born today. Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
We don't know them, okay? But I'm sure they'll be okay,
yeah.
all right? And tell me, what would – just look at those kids, and what would you change to make their literacy better? And by the way, that's a giant question. I'll give you another PhD from the University of Larry if you can answer that. It's not
hey,
that
I'll
good
take
a school.
It. I'll take
it's
it.
Not that good a school, but you can put it on your resume. Yeah.
Yeah.
The University
yeah,
of Larry.
It.
Yeah.
So I think
not
it's
well
a,
respected.
I think it's a two-pronged
yeah.
approach. So I'm going to first start with equipping educators in our pre-service programs. These are our teachers that are sitting in colleges. My daughter's roommate was an education major when they graduated in 2018, and I was chatting with her, and I was telling her all about this innovative things that we were doing, and she said, I wish somebody in college would have taught me how about literacy, about how kids learn to read, about everything you're talking about, because I learned how to make bulletin boards. Are bulletin boards important?
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. It, you know, the aesthetics of the room. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you know what? we're not equipping our educators. And the National Center for Teacher Quality even shows, we know what the science says. Louisa Moats says, the science is clear on how kids learn to read, but our colleges are not equipping educators to be prepared. So that's the first thing. We got to equip our educators to be prepared, and colleges have to get on board with that. Second thing, what about all these teachers that are already in our schools? You know, these are teachers that are already in our schools. They've been indoctrinated into these myths that are out there. You know, even like leveled reading, and I'm going to lean on the words of Irene Fountas and Gesu Pinnell, the famous Fountas and Pinnell leveling system, and they will even tell you, our leveling system has been misinterpreted across the country, that you should never level a child. You should only level books. And the way that it's being used and implemented, so we've got to have in-service learning for our educators to help them understand how to use the products that they have, how to make sure they are aligning to the research and science-based practices of what a child needs. And I'm also going to go to Dr. Jean Chawl with her ages and stages of reading development, and goes to what you were talking about, that sixth grader. What a child needs in second grade, completely different than what a child needs in eighth grade and 10th grade.
Exactly.
And so, and understanding. And I want you, Larry Jacobs, the science or the social studies teacher.
The old social studies
also,
guy. Yeah,
I also want you to have this knowledge. So, you know.
Good point.
It's bringing a nation of people together.
Yeah, it's a good point. Actually, your point is well taken. I went to school a long time ago, okay? But because I was going to be a social studies teacher, okay, they never talked about, and I'll just use that reading as an example, okay? We were never taught, even in the slightest bit, on how to recognize a reading problem or certainly how to fix one. All right, because they just assumed somebody else was going to do that. We're quote the social studies teachers. I don't know if that's changed or not, but and your point, I like this about the colleges lagging behind the neuroscience. Okay, I agree with that. Okay, I still don't understand that. All right, they talk a lot about philosophy and all that sort of stuff in education schools. But they have to get down to the nitty-gritty, okay, and really start talking about the neuroscience. We know it now, okay? It's not a mystery. Well, it's still a mystery to a great degree, but it's not a full mystery anymore. We know how people learn, and that neuroscience needs to be studied, all right, and make it happen. I love the way you're tackling all this. It's just amazing. And this whole child thing makes perfect sense. All right, then we've got to look at it from every angle and really and truly make it work. You know? So we've got audiobooks, you guys do professional development too, right? You'll go into school district.
We do. Absolutely. And you know, I talked about the conference on June 4th, and actually what's cool about that is that, you know, you can sign up for June 4th, but you can also access all of the recorded content until December 1st, because we know what it's like in the day of the life of a teacher. You know, I can watch later. But another thing that it's absolute and utter transformation that's happening. We started an educator community at Learning Ally, and our community is all about literate leadership. And the fact that we want to also dispel the myth out there that, you know, leadership in a school is only when you've got principal after your name or superintendent, you know, and that's a lie. That is an absolute lie. That just says that you are a manager of people. You know, you're a boss. It doesn't say you're a leader. We want classroom educators, we want faculty, we want staff, we want those administrators to be leaders, teaching them, equipping them what leadership looks like in the area of literacy. And we're doing that in the educator community. And I had a lady tell me the other day, you know, we do this through different programming and podcasts and webinars and blogs and videos. We want, gone are the days of sit and get. I'm going to go sit and listen to some stodgy, you know, person talk to me and present PowerPoints for an hour and a half, and here we go. This is on the go, consumable. I can choose the content that works for me. I can access it at the time it works for me. And there was a lady that told me, she said, here's what she said. Girl, I am on a mission. Ever since I've been engaged in this content, I can't stop talking about it. She said, I spent an hour on the phone with one of my colleagues telling them the transformation that's happening on the inside of me, because when I transform on the inside, I can do bigger and better things on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're going to move people. We're going to move people, and it's going to take that army, that tribe of people coming together. We're doing it through the educator community.
Good for you, Terry. I got to tell you, this was great. I'd like to do more with you guys. Can we get in touch and continue this conversation?
Absolutely.
Well, let's do it.
Absolutely.
Did you have a good time?
I had a great time.
Yeah,
I had a great time.
Good
and
guest.
I got to say to your listeners, Larry, the work that you're doing, too, about this access and equity, it takes all of us coming together. So I'm so proud to know
you and support
the work.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We try, okay? But it's guests like you that get the word out. We do appreciate it. We'll do more. I'll be in touch. I promise you.
Good.
Okay? And this is great. So take care. Have a good, safe Memorial Day, all right?
All right. Same to you.
Okay. Thank you, my dear. Take care. In Abilene, okay?
Uh-huh.
In Abilene.
Okay.
That's
thanks,
America,
Larry.
Man. Okay. Thanks, there. Bye-bye. Abilene. How many movies, for goodness sakes? Hey, we're going to archive at ace-ed.org. She's a great guest. They're a good company. Learningally.org. Thanks, everybody. Safe Memorial Day.